Lords were to ask you why you're a member of the Church of Christ, would you know how to answer them? Paul said to be prepared for every good work, 2 Timothy 2:21. To be ready to every good work, Titus 3, verse 1. And Peter said in 1 Peter 3, verse 15, to be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asks you a reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. Or would we be ashamed or afraid to answer them? Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul tells us that he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? Because it's the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul says we are not to be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, 2 Timothy 1 verse 8. I am a member of the Church of Christ because Christ is the founder of only one church. Christ is the founder of only one church, His church. He who has all authority in heaven and in earth said, upon this rock I will build my church. Of course, the rock is the statement of the Apostle Peter. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Not really the statement itself, but the truth that it stated, that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, that He was the one sent from God to save mankind. He's the one, Matthew 16, verse 18. Jesus did not say that He would build a church or His churches or nor one of His churches. He said, I will build my church, singular. Let me spell it for you. C-H-U-R-C-H. That's how many Jesus promised to build. Just one. Everyone who knows anything about the English language as to whether nouns are singular or plural knows that this word church is singular and means one. It's hard for many good people, in view of the present conditions, to be convinced of the oneness of the church. But the multiplicity of churches about us has no power to alter the words of Christ. It doesn't matter that there is 1,000 denominations. There's only one church. Jesus declares, my words will by no means pass away. Matthew 24, verse 35. And yet we have people that identify us as that group of people that believe they're the only ones going to heaven. Because we believe what the Bible says, that there is one church. The truth is that anyone who follows the words of Christ, that anyone who follows the Bible, the Word of God, anyone who independently of us, not because we told them, but they read the Scriptures for themselves and take it for what it is, and they believe and are baptized, are members of that one church, even though they've never heard of any Watkins. Even though they've never heard of the Marshfield Church of Christ, even though they've never heard of the 100 churches around Nashville, Tennessee, even though they've never heard of all the churches of Christ and members of the church in the state of Texas, they're still members of that one church, just one. And if I find today, as I study the Scriptures, that I am not a member of the church that Jesus built, that I'm not a member of the Church of Christ, you'll see me running out that door trying to find it. And so should you. One church. If this is not part of it, then let's go find it. Because that's where salvation is. Because that's where the road to heaven is. Because in Christ is where all spiritual blessings are. We must find it. The Apostle Peter, Paul, teaches us that there is one body, Ephesians 4, verse 4, Romans 12, verses 4 and 5. He says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 20, but now they are many members, but one body. We've started it, one church, one body, not many bodies. There's only one body of Christ. We can see that Paul talked time and again the oneness of the body, but does the body mean the church? Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. See it with your own eyes. Ephesians 1, verses 22 and 23. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. There it is, 16:18 of Matthew. I will build my church, head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. There's one body, one church. They are both the same thing, spoken of in different ways because there are different aspects to it. The word church means the called out. The word body includes each member and puts them together, but still one body, one head. We see that Paul taught time and time again the oneness of the body, and it's the one body is the church. The church is the body, and the body is the church. Therefore, there is one church. This agrees perfectly with Jesus' promise, I will build my church. I don't know how others in denominations can say that all the denominations put together is the one body. It just wouldn't work that way. It would become some monstrous thing. There is one head, there is one body, there is one called out group of people. That's what the Bible says. They have to reject the Bible and take on their own opinions. And the denominational world rejects the Catholic Church for doing that thing, that same thing, and yet they do it themselves. We wonder why people just can't see the truth, because they don't want to be part of that people that they're the only ones going to heaven who think they are. They want to be a part of that which is not pleasing to God. They think they are because they believe in feelings now instead of facts. They believe that they feel God is pleased with them and not that the Bible teaches that they are. The oneness of the church is also seen in the figure of a vineyard with God the husbandman. Turn with me to John chapter 15, verse 1. John chapter 15, verse 1. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Verse 7 reads, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. We do not see the picture of many vineyards being worked by the vine dresser in a way as to conflict with the welfare and growth of each. Today there are thousands of religious vineyards claiming God as their vine dresser. This is what you see when you lift up your eyes in the world, but this is not what you see when you look into the Bible. In the Bible we see one vineyard, one husbandman. This idea of one church is further portrayed in the figure of the vine and the branches. We already read verses 1 through 8. Jesus, or Christ here, is pictured as the true vine and each redeemed person, each Christian, as a branch of the vine. We do not see Christ as a plurality of vines with many branches in each vine, and each vine and its branches growing in such a way as to conflict with all the growth of the others. This is not what we see at all. What we see is one great and beautiful vine. Jesus Christ with every saved person as a branch in him, saved by him and bearing fruit to his glory. Man, in his desperate attempt to justify denominationalism, has tried to tell us that the vine is the original and true church, and all the branches are the different denominations of the world. This is the number one argument in behalf of denominationalism. A little logical thinking will show this to be false. Christ was speaking to his disciples, not denominations. Notice verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in them, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. This is language designed to talk to individuals, not to denominations. Christ said to abide in me, in the vine. Thus, if you are abiding in a branch, you're in error. Jesus plainly taught that a branch was a person, not a denomination. A man. John 15, verse 6, in the American Standard Version, the abiding Christ as a man. It does injury to the parable to call it denominationalism. It's preposterous and ridiculous to think that on the true vine can grow a grape, a pumpkin, a squash, etc. We would not accept this in the physical world, and it doesn't even exist in the physical world. Why accept it in the spiritual world? The oneness of the church is also presented in the figure of a house or a family. A house or a family. Paul tells us that the church is the house or family of God. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. The Apostle Paul, teaching these spiritual truths to his son in the faith, Timothy, says, But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Paul tells us that the church is the house or the family of God. That we are God's family is clearly seen in Romans 8, verses 16 and 17. Romans 8, verses 16 and 17. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified with him. We do not see depicted in the Bible thousands of different families with more or less conflicting all the others, each with a distinct government of its own, each wearing its own name and claiming to have the same father. It's just ridiculous. It doesn't happen that way. That would be a bigamy. It's not right. Not taught in the scripture. Men ought not by word or deed to cast such a poor reflection upon God. There is one house, and there is one father. The divine picture is the one great united family with God as the father, Jesus as the elder brother, and all members working together for the good of the family. The oneness of the church is also portrayed in the figure of one fold and one shepherd. Jesus' words in John chapter 10, verse 16 are telling in this. John chapter 10, verse 16. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Now the Mormon church uses this passage to show that there are in far away and in America somewhere, there's a new covenant and a new people, but that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about Gentiles here. Speaking of the Jews, he's talking about another group, but he's going to make them both into one. This is told many times in various parts of the Scripture. The book of Galatians and Ephesians all have these truths taught in them. The oneness of the church is taught in the figure of one fold and one shepherd. We must look into the world and not the Bible to see many flocks, each claiming to have the same shepherd. God does not picture thousands of flocks, each with its peculiar type of sheep, and each more or less at variance with one another. God says, one flock, one shepherd. That's all there is. The oneness of the church is further taught in our Lord's prayer to the Father. Before he goes to be crucified, we expect great things to come out of the mouth of Christ. Last words are always great. I remember the last words of my grandmother on my father's side, and they'll be with me always. They won't mean anything to you, but they do to me. We hear from Jesus here in John chapter 17, and we find him praying the high priestly prayer that we expect of him from his duties. He is our high priest, and he prays for his disciples, his apostles, and those that the apostles would teach. Verses 20 and 21. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on thee through their word, that they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. How do we know the one? We know that there is supposed to be one. How do we know the one? Any of you who have ever dealt with counterfeits know that a counterfeit implies the one, the true. In the 70s, there came out New Coke. My mother quickly tried it and said, "This isn't Coke. This isn't what I want. It's awful." She wouldn't drink it. She despaired over never having Coke again until Coca-Cola Classic came out, and she had Coke again. Still wasn't the same. She could still taste the difference. No one else could, but my mom could, I'll tell you that. She said she could. It tasted the same to me, but not mom. She wanted the real thing. She wanted the truth. I am told, I do not know this for because I've talked to an agent, but those that take care of the counterfeit in our Treasury Department, those in the Secret Service who look to deal with counterfeiters, well, they don't study the counterfeit. They take true bills, true $100 bills, or whatever it is, and they notice every aspect of it, and they memorize what the true looks like. And when they come up to that which is false, that which is fake, even if there's just a minute change, it's blazingly obvious, because that's not what the true looks like. As we look through the scriptures where there is one body, one church, when we look through the scriptures where there is one family of God, where there is one flock, where there is just one Savior, one head, one Father, we look out to our religious neighbors and see that's not what they believe. That's not what they're doing. That's not what they're teaching. It's just blatantly obvious that it's false. I used to work on a university campus, and I dealt with permits, parking permits. And there were good permits, and there were fake permits. I have seen some people take the good permit and change it into a fake permit by use of a little electrical tape. You know, they make them in colors now. And they would give it a new border, and they would change little things on them to make you believe that they could park closer than they could. And sometimes the permit office would issue disabled permits or some other short-term permit that, and people would make a copy of it, laser printer, and they would change little things on it to allow them more places to park or a longer period of time to park. And sometimes it was only one little bitty thing that made you know that this was a false permit. Sometimes it was obvious. The other times you had to look real close. But you could always tell if you knew certain things. We know certain things. Jesus said, "I will build my church." If we know the English language and corresponding to it, the Greek language, we know that that is singular. Doesn't allow for multiple churches. If we know that story of the vine and the vine dresser, we know that the idea of denominationalism just doesn't fit. And so, when we tell people that there is only one church, And they call us, well, you're those people that think you're the only ones going to heaven. You won't have a problem with it. You won't have a problem with the truth. You can tell them, follow the same truth as they did in the first century. The same truth that was stamped by God with miracles and that came out of the mouth of faithful apostles. If they follow that, they'll go to the same heaven that those people did. Just like we're trying to do. It's not a matter of we have such pride in what we say that we think because it comes out of our mouth that we're going to heaven. No, it's not that at all. It means we want to go to heaven just like the apostles, prophets, and the Christians of the first century did. We know that they did because they followed the Word of God. And when they did, God accepted them. And that's what we want today. And if we tell people that there's only one church, we have the Scripture to back it up, we don't have to worry about people calling us names, people telling us that we're just prideful. We don't have to worry about that because God says that's right. God says that's true because we got it from Him. God says one flock, one shepherd. That's what we're going to believe. Jesus prayed for unity. So that's what we're going to strive for. Jesus prayed that all who believe in Him might be one. How do you get from one to not one? You have to believe something different from what Jesus believed. That's how you have to do it. And people have the gall to tell us that we're the ones causing the disunity. It's not true. This prayer is a cutting rebuke to the plurality of churches in our world today. What if people began to listen to the Lord? The Baptist churches, I think there's at least five in this town. I've seen several churches that call themselves Baptist. I'm sure that there are some little difference in each one of them, but what if they all started calling themselves the Church of Christ? And what if they looked at the same Bible and decided to become Christians the same as they did in the first century? And they did it without any help from us. They would be one, wouldn't they? The house of God, the flock of the shepherd. Notice I'm using the, not a, but the flock of the shepherd. And they started fellowshipping with anyone who taught the same thing, who labeled themselves as God would label them. Then there wouldn't be any division. We would all be one flock, one shepherd. We would all be the family of God. And no one would have to be telling us that we're just prideful. Because we believe that we're the only ones going to heaven. Every time a man says that Jesus is the author of many churches and doctrines, he accuses the Lord of hypocrisy. How many times have you heard of denominational preachers falling to their knees and thanking God for all the many different denominations in the world today? But this is not what Jesus prayed for. Jesus prayed that we be one. Many have drifted far from the Spirit of Christ. I'm a member of the Church of Christ because it was founded by the scriptural builder, Christ. It was founded on the scriptural foundation, Christ. It was founded at the scriptural place, Jerusalem. And Christ is the founder of only one church, His church. And maybe someone here this very hour that wants to be a member of the church that Jesus built. And no other will do because you want to be part of that flock that is following that shepherd. We invite you to do so today. If you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins, don't wait another minute, another hour, another day. Don't wait. You have no promise of another day. It may be that you've wandered from that flock, from the doctrines of that shepherd. It may be that you've been rebellious. You need to ask that shepherd, that father for forgiveness. You need to ask and get back on that true way. You need to repent and ask God for forgiveness. And if we can assist you in doing that, I ask you to come and sit on one of these front pews and do so as we stand and as we sing.